Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
Okay, so let's talk about how and when do you make a payment bond claim. So you're doing work on a construction project, that job is bonded. What do you do to make sure that you get paid? So as Jonathan mentions, the payment bond secures your lien rights, because you don't lien the job, you make a claim against the payment bond. How do you know if a job is bonded? Well, the good folks at Sunray will do the research, and if you don't know, they can tell you. If you wanted to find out yourself, you can do a search of the public records in the county where the project is located, typically doing a search by the name of the owner. Or the contractor will reveal the bond. If you can get to the job site, it's supposed to be posted along with at the job site, a copy of the notice of commencement and a copy of the bond. So once you know that you're doing work on a bonded job, what are the steps you have to take? So step one is serve the notice to contractor within 45 days of your first work on the job. Now, if you have a direct contract with the bonded contractor, so we have the owner, the bonded contractor, and if you are a sub or supplier to that bonded contractor, you don't need to send this first notice. You should, but you don't have to, because this notice for to make a claim, the notice to contractor, is if you are not in privity, you don't have a contract with, not in privity with the bonded contractor. So this applies to subcontractors and material suppliers to subcontractors. Those are the folks that have to send this notice. I had a client come to me and he said, "All right, Alex, I'm owed $100,000, I screwed up. I'm on this bonded job, I never sent my notice to owner, notice to contractor." I said, "Well, why'd you screw up? That's fine, you didn't need to send one." He said, "What do you mean I didn't need to send one?" You don't need to send one. You have a direct contract with the bonded contractor, so you are not obligated to send this notice. Again, you should have a process in place where you automatically send notices all the time. What we find is that when clients try to learn all of the rules with all of the exceptions so that they send the notices only when they need to, they end up missing some because there are lots of nuances to the rule. So for the cost of the notice to owner / notice to contractor, it's typically better to have a process in your office and say, any job over, pick a number, $500. $2,000, $5,000, whatever number you determine, when I sign a contract, I send a notice. I may not need to send the notice, but I send the notice. And then you know that automatically that notice gets done so that you don't have that heart attack moment when you're owed money and you realize, ugh, did we send the notice on this? Because you just know that we always send notices. Now, there are certain exceptions to this rule. As I told you, there are lots of exceptions to all of these rules. So here's one of the exceptions. I told you need to send, so as a subcontractor, you need to send this notice to contractor within 45 days of your first work. But there are exceptions to this rule. If the notice of commencement is not recorded, that 45 days doesn't start. If the reference to the bond is not given in the notice of commencement, the 45 days doesn't start. If it's a public job and the bond is not recorded, that 45 days doesn't start. And if none of those apply and you still haven't been given actual notice of the bond, that 45 days doesn't apply. So we had a client come to us who was a subcontractor on a public job. He didn't send his first notice, and when he came to us, he hadn't sent his second notice. He was he just finished the job. And he said, I'm owed, I think he was owed $70,000. And he said, I screwed up. I never sent my first notice. And we did some research and we realized that that bond was never recorded. It was a public job. That bond needed to be recorded. It wasn't. So his 45 days, keep in mind, he's done now. He's done with the job. His 45 days for his first notice hasn't even started to run. So the first thing we did is we found the bond. It took a lot of work, but we found it. And we sent the first notice. Then we waited a day, and then we sent the second notice, which is what's called the notice of non-payment. And then the next day after that, we filed the lawsuit to make a claim against the payment bond, and he got all his money, his interest, and his legal fees, even though he missed that first notice. So the moral of the story is, just because you think you have missed a deadline, don't stop looking and digging, because there are lots and lots of exceptions to these rules. And you may fall into one of those exceptions, and it could breathe life into a claim that you thought didn't exist. So the next step is serve the notice of non-payment within 90 days of your last work on the job.
This episode is brought to you by the Miami Construction Forum. This invitation-only group of construction professionals of all sizes and trades meets monthly for an informal lunch-and-learn session on current topics of interest, from getting paid and safety to bonding and insurance. To see the upcoming topics and request your invitation, visit MiamiConstructionForum.com.
Remember that 90 days is not 3 months. I'm going to say that one more time. 90 days is not 3 months. So if you're counting your last work as June 7th, July 7th, right, you're making a mistake. That's a good way to get a rough estimate, but the actual time is 90 days. So this next notice, the notice of non-payment, needs to be sent within 90 days of your last work. And last work does not include punch list or warranty work. So if you have submitted your 100% payment application, you know, the bell should be going off. I am in my 90-day period because you've submitted a pay request that says you're 100% done. Now, change order work can extend that time. So if you, we had a client who was a door hardware supplier. So he would supply and install metal doors. And he was owed about $35,000 on a job, and he missed his deadline to send his notice of non-payment. It was after, it had been longer than 90 days. He gets a call from the contractor who says, ah, we missed one fire-rated door. I need you to deliver and install it. It was like $1,000, no big deal. And he called me and he said, Alex, can you believe it? He had the nerve, after he owes me $35,000, he had the nerve to call me and ask me to deliver this additional door. And I said, put it in the back of your truck, prepare a change order, have him sign the change order on the spot, and install that door, and you will now re-up your 90 days, and then you can make a claim and you can get paid. And that's exactly what happened. He submitted the claim and he got paid. And then the last step is you need to file suit. This is a civil lawsuit in court on the payment bond within 1 year of your last work on the job. So no later than 1 year from your last work, you have to file the lawsuit against the surety. Now, one of the things to keep in mind about making a claim against a payment bond is that 1 year sounds like a really long time, but you shouldn't be waiting that long. We're going to spend in a few minutes, we're going to talk about some of the best ways to collect on your accounts receivable, but this is the outside limit of when you can make a claim on the payment bond, is 1 year.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forums on this and other construction topics, head over to theleanzone.com.